First Corinthians 15, verses 17 to 21. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Hearing a sermon on that scripture changed my life forever. My minister at that time was challenging church to be the people God intended. He said that was the hope and the message of Easter, to be the people God intended. And he said that if church did not believe in the resurrection, did not have a gospel message to believe in and share with the world, then we might as well board up the windows of the church, lock the doors, go away, and do something useful with our lives. In an instant, Jesus became real to me. I was so aware of light and presence and an intense love beside me. A love so intense that I thought that I would die there and then. Such was its purity, its fullness, its intensity. And in that love, I would be content to die in that moment. I heard the words, "Follow me, preach resurrection." That was it. I became a Christian in that moment and received a call to ministry. Looking back on it, I was blessed by the fact that my minister recognized it for what it was. He took it in his stride and helped me come to terms with what had happened. And my late wife Margaret also took it in her stride and supported me all the way into and through ministry. It's so important, folks, to encourage one another.
Yes.
To build up faith in each other. To share this hope that we have together in Christ, and to encourage and help each other to find our own gifts and callings in ministry. Help us, help each one of us, because that way church grows and church impacts the world. My wife was the reason I was in church. I'd given up on God at age 11 after the death of one of my grandmothers. By that point, I've been doing the usual things in church: Sunday school, Bible class, boys' brigade, all of that. Then Granny died, and so I walked away. I was over with God, and I was over with the church. But it seems He wasn't over with me. That often happens, doesn't it? There's probably stories here where you've decided to walk away and decided you were over with God. He's not over with us. So I was over with church, I was over with God, that was it, fine, I was now going to grow up and go on with my life. I was over with God until I got married. Margaret was a believer, and having accepted Jesus at a very, very young age, by reading some of the encounters of Daniel, she was impressed with Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel in the fiery furnace. So impressed by him being a man of prayer and depending on God. So I went with her to church before and after our marriage. My thinking at that time was, well, we've got to keep the minister happy because he's going to marry us. We may as well go through the motions here and just trot along to church occasionally. Because remember, I was over with God. I got something from his services, no doubt, and something from the fellowship. And I thought that was it, that was church, and it wasn't too bad, it was quite harmless. Didn't really change your life much, but it was okay. Until that sermon on that encounter. If you asked me before that encounter in church, I would have said the usual things. I was a good person, perhaps even a good Christian. I was believing and that I was going to heaven. But that encounter to me to be a fore and an after place in my life. And I'm sure again we all share those kind of stories here, that each one of us has a before and an after encounter with the risen Jesus. The gospel has come to us in some way and our life has changed, that we can look back on our life and our journey and realize there was a before and an after. And from that point, that encounter, God has been gradually revealing to me just exactly what resurrection means. Over my time in ministry, I've seen it as a turnaround in the lives of individuals or indeed communities, of people and communities coming alive in Christ, of people discovering and being activated in their gifting and their calling. I remember one person coming to Bible study and prayer meetings to start with. She never said, "Why should you start quietly in the corner?" But gradually, she came to pray aloud. And then, 3 years later, she was leading a Bible study or a prayer meeting. My work was done in her life, and I could move on and encourage someone else. And of course it means resurrection from the dead. That's what we celebrate this day, the raising of Jesus and the hope of resurrection from the dead that we all have in Christ. So long story short, my wife Margaret became seriously ill back in 2007 and needed emergency surgery. Things went wrong in theatre and afterwards. After an operation much longer than expected with many challenges and difficulties, she was declared to be death imminent. The surgeon told me that there was no hope, that he had abandoned an attempt at an emergency transfer to another hospital because, as he put it, "Your wife keeps dying on me. I can't keep getting her back." She would not survive the journey to this other hospital. She would even survive the transfer to the ambulance. So I was told that it would be a few hours at the most, probably much sooner. But I immediately drew upon my encounter in church, the encounter that led me on this adventure of faith. I prayed a simple prayer which declared that not only was Jesus raised from the dead, but he was the hope and the faith by which I and Margaret lived. So I placed Margaret into the hands of God, trusting in him and trusting in her calling my life. If Margaret died, then we had victory because she would be with Jesus forever and I would join her eventually. If she lived, that would be a victory because we could have more life together. So I left the situation with God. He was the resurrection and the life. We got another 14 years to go. By this time in late 2021, it was time for her to go and to be with the Lord. And so we were able to face that with peace and with faith. As I've shared in the past, I encountered the raising of a child when on a short-term mission in Mozambique. Philippians 3:10. Paul writes, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead." That book was given to me by a prophetic person just before going to Mozambique. I was told that I would come to understand more of the power of resurrection. And that was happening because, in Mozambique they were moving under an open heaven at that time. And there was a powerful move of the Holy Spirit, and it was a privilege to join into that. There's a great deal of truth in that Philippians passage. Not all of it I fully understand. But he is saying that there is more than just faith and acceptance of the resurrection of Jesus. There's power available to the church. You heard it in one of the prayers already this morning. There is power available to the church, the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. He explains why church can move in healings, deliverance, signs and wonders. And the Philippians passage in 3:10 is also about a world of intimacy. A church so in love with and so close to Jesus that she loves the world around and moves in resurrection power into that world. Just one last thing on that. One day in Mozambique, I was just finishing what I was doing and turned and encountered Heidi Baker, who's the one heading up that mission. The look that she gave me that day was the same look of love that I experienced when I was converted and called. A love that just captured and watched take me immediately into glory. Enough of me, and I could expand on all that. The point we made in that Philippians 3:10 passage, and more so in 1 Corinthians 15, is that there are consequences to your decision about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's why I've termed this talk today, consequences. There are consequences to your believing. There are consequences to Easter for each one of us. The Corinthian letters are to a church that was losing its way in a multicultural world of many expressions of faith and spirituality. However, the bottom line is that we're listening to this gospel message. Christ died for our sins. On the third day he rose again. Cross and resurrection go together. We're called to faith in that act of God and the decision we make between futility or faith has consequences for the remainder of our lives and all the lives that we encounter. The Easter message takes us to the heart of the gospel and into the depths of God's love for us and for the world. Again, we heard that in our prayer this morning, for God so loved the world. It determines what it means to be a church and to be a Christian. It has consequences that take us out of our comfort zones and into the community and even to the ends of the earth, and that is God's call in our life, to go with the gospel into community and into the world. It's not simply a message of salvation. This good news leads us into action in the community, leads us to bring other lives to come alive and be free in Christ, leads us into dead places to bring life to them, leads us into life that has lost its way and helps life find its way. Crucifixion and resurrection are the same continuous action by God in Christ. Each makes sense in the light of the other, and Christian life and faith rests on them both. To a church that had lost its way, a church without the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul uses strong words to describe resurrection faith. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. 15, 1 and 2. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Received, stand, saved, hold firmly are all emphasized in the original writing. Paul is saying this is what defines us and defines the church. For otherwise we are believing in vain. It's hopeless. Paul is calling them and us to listen to the gospel again and to embrace the consequences of the message. That is the Easter call this morning once again. To listen to the gospel, to celebrate the gospel, and to embrace the consequences of believing, and to take that into the world. Paul makes clear that this did not originate with him. It's not something that he put together, it came to him. And I know in my own life that what really messes with people's heads is that I didn't decide to be a minister. God made that decision for me. Whatever I have is in ministry, whatever I do in ministry, came from beyond me. I had a God encounter. And people can argue away my call to ministry, at least they can attempt it, but they can't argue away this one thing. It came to me. It came to all of us. People can't take that from us. This is the foundation of our own faith here. It came to us. It came to you. The The cross and the resurrection of Jesus is not some timeless myth. It's not the product of human thinking. It's not a good moral tale to encourage us as a church. It is the work and the work of testimony. The gospel we celebrate today is a testimony to what God has done at a particular time and a particular place, and which has eternal consequences for all who hear it, in whatever time and place they may be. The gospel itself is a witness to the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a confession of faith which sees awakened faith in others. That's why I've been able to see faith awaken in others, to see people discovering their own gifts and calling. That is why it sends church out into the community to engage with the world. It is that which gives rise to signs, wonders, healings, deliverance, and which can bring people back from near death or death itself. Verses 3-6. 1 Corinthians 15:3-6. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And last of all, he appeared to me also. It's believed that those words that Paul writes here are part of an early confession of the church, and Paul believes that it was an attempt to remind the church of the gospel, to give them a place to start with, to remind them of faith. So reflect on your own faith for a moment. Let the truth sink into your life that the risen Christ has come to you. As Paul writes, of first importance, Christ died for your sins and mine, according to the Scripture. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. That he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. And last of all, he appeared to you and to me. Verses 6, 7, and 8. Paul writes, after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as one and not only one. Confession leads to confession. Witnessing to witnessing. Crucifixion and resurrection reveal God's power and call us to a new way of life and living. It is intended to be life-changing and world-changing. It is confession, not theory. That's why I started with my own personal testimony this morning, because I believe that is what Paul is saying here, that confessing leads to confessing, witnessing to witnessing, testimony to testimony. And my hope and prayer is that at some point in today and in the days ahead, you also will get the opportunity to confess, to witness, and to testify. For that is what builds faith. That's what expands the church and takes us to the ends of the earth. You see, the hope that we have, not a philosophy that we follow, a truth, not a fake news. Paul does not speculate here on the nature of the resurrection of Jesus. Doesn't really speculate much on the resurrection body. Instead, he offers a matter of faith, a personal confession, and a changed life that follows and lives out that faith. 1 Corinthians 15:12-20. 15:12-20. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we have then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So the argument here is straightforward. If resurrection is impossible and Christ was not raised, then preaching is not true and there's no truth sharing. If that is true, then Paul and every preacher is deluded, believing an untruth. Christian proclamation is therefore empty, hollowed out, and there's no impetus for action. There's no point being church. Church therefore has no faith as a foundation, no basis for existing, and no possibility of sins being forgiven. No resurrection, no faith, no forgiveness, and we are to be pitied more than most. But, in fact, everything changes with the good news of Easter. The world changes on Easter morning. The resurrection transforms everything. Christ has risen. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
The first fruits were a sign and a promise of the harvest to come.
Yes.
They guarantee that harvest was on its way. The first sheaf of corn, the first picking of the grapes or whatever harvest they were taking at that time. The first fruits were always taken and offered to God and dedicated and blessed. And then people knew the harvest is coming. That's what we celebrate this Easter day. Christ is risen, the first fruits. He's the sign and the promise that we too shall rise from death. And indeed, the resurrection power can break in through the church, through individual Christians at any moment, and bring light and life and change and turn around to any dead situation or any dead person. There can be signs of hope and first fruits here and now in this life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees our rising, and that resurrection life, the power of the resurrection, breaks in here and now. It is the reversal of the decay and death that operated since Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The reign and the rule of Christ is over all. For he's put everything under his feet, verse 27, until Christ is all in all at the end of time, so that God will be all in all, verse 28. The resurrection is far-reaching. The resurrection will bring about the end of history as we know it. It ushers in the last days. We keep talking about the last days, is this the last days? The last days began in resurrection only. With the raising of Christ, the last days began. This world is living out the last days. Christ could return at any moment. So what are the consequences for us, and what are we going to do about this? Verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. In other words, the consequence is this, very simply. Keep working for the kingdom in resurrection hope and power. Because confession leads to confession, witnessing to witnessing, testimony to testimony. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.